Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast this morning. Today is Thursday, April 23rd, 2020. We are rapidly moving out of the month of April into May, where spring will slowly merge, hopefully, into summer. And most of us, like here in Missouri, for me, what are we going to do for the summer? The county executive announced just yesterday, amidst all the protests in Clayton, that the stay-at-home order will be intact indefinitely. Well, right now, if you go to my Facebook page, I pasted something that is very insightful about all of this and take the time to read it. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but this morning I want to update us on our dear Iranian Christian friend, Mary Mohammadi. Remember, a week ago, she went to court protesting against this charge against her for participating in a rally back in January 12th, which she says, I wasn't a part of. Why are you charging me being part of an illegal protest? Well, because Mary's a Christian, and they love in Iran to antagonize, to arrest, and even kill Christians. And so the judge began asking her all kinds of questions about her Christian background, and Mary protested through her lawyer, saying, this has nothing to do with my case. And the judge said, well, the fact that you were in the area, that's evidence enough for me. So he said, I promise I'm going to give you a verdict real soon. Well, this past Tuesday, Mary was summoned back to court, and she was given a sentence of 3 months, 1 day, and 10 lashes for being a part of this rally. Now, listen very carefully. It's a suspended sentence, which means that it won't take place. Mary won't have to serve it until next April 21st. 2021. Now, I'm with Mary on this. This is ridiculous. They had no evidence against her. She was in the area. They just assumed that she was part of a protest. But what really gets next to me is the 10 lashes. Have you ever seen, and I've shown it on Facebook, the backs of any Iranians after lashing? Okay, you may say 10 is not a lot, but let me tell you what, it's fierce, red. It can get infected. It's horrible to look at. And so while I'm happy that the 3 months is not very long, it's not a year, it's not more than that, I am very unhappy about the lashing. And that's going to take place next year because the coronavirus is rampant throughout Iran, especially in the prison. So we have been praying for Mary. I'm very grateful to the Lord that she is not going to serve this sentence now at a time like this with this virus. I'm very grateful that the sentence is not very long, but any sentence in any prison in Iran with all of the conditions and the treatment of prisoners is bad. It's not good. The only good that comes out of this is that it's not until a year from now, and it's only 3 months. Between now and next April, a lot of things can take place. It's possible that this sentence could be commuted and forgiven. That's what we're going to pray about. Now, here's what Mary said in an interview with Article 18 about the results of her verdict. She says, "There was no evidence against me, so I ought to have been acquitted. But instead, I was sentenced not only to imprisonment, but also flogging." And it should be mentioned that even before the verdict was handed down, I and my family were forced to endure all kinds of torture, none of which was sanctioned by law, and which ought to be considered crimes in themselves. So even if I would have been acquitted, it wouldn't have been a real acquittal. I don't know exactly what she's referring to about all kinds of torture. I haven't had a chance to talk to her about that. But again, the way Christians are intimidated in Iran and harassed, I'm sure it has something to do with the fact that the government would call her at her home and want to talk to her parents and saying, "Did you know your daughter converted to Christianity? How do you feel about that?" And so maybe that's what took place, but I don't know. And so Mary goes on her Twitter account talking about this verdict, and she says, "Because of protesting against the slaughter of human beings, because of showing sympathy for the families of those who perished on the Ukraine airline crash, because of defending the rights of all human, because," and she goes on, "and I am sentenced to prison and 10 lashings for showing compassion to humanity," is what she's trying to say. And it's just horrible. Again, it doesn't take place for a year. A lot of things can take place between now and April. And it's only 3 months, and I'm trying to look for something good in this. And it's hard sometimes to do that. But what we need to do is to continue to pray and be a voice for Mary. As I've said, things can change between now and next April. And that is the latest update on Mary. I want to talk to us this morning about false religion and what false religion can do to the deception, the destruction, to the despair of human beings. I want to talk about an incident that is going to be featured in our new book, Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians, which is on hold until things begin to improve in the life of my Iranian friend, Manoush, who is the co-author. And also with this virus going on, we decided to table it until things begin to settle down a little bit and then we're going to publish it. But there's a story in the book that features an incident that took place in Iran in an elementary school about 8 years ago. And it's written by a human rights defender, a lawyer himself, Hussein and Ahmadinejad. And Hussein has taken up the case of these children that were involved in this deadly school fire that killed two of them. And we go into a lot of detail in the book about this unjust school fire. But let me tell you a little bit about it so you understand why I'm calling this teaching this morning on the broadcast, Blinded by Religion. You'll understand. On December 5th, 2012, a faulty heater exploded in the Shin Abad Elementary School in the tiny village of Piranishar and severely burned over 40 students. Quick to cover up their incompetence, the mullah's intelligence agents warned families to not interview with news agencies. It is a well-known fact that many of the elementary schools in Iran have worn-out heaters that desperately need to be replaced. A few days later after the tragedy, two of the young students died as a result of their severe burns. Now, on this article, I have a picture of a young girl who was in the fire. She was in the school fire, and you can see a bandage around her right arm, and she's laying in a hospital bed without her hijab on. Now, her name was Yagana. She's recovering from the burns in a local hospital. So a mullah sees her picture on the internet, and he publicly complained that she was not wearing her hijab. Never mind the fact that she could have died in the fire. Never mind the fact that this 10-year-old girl has severe burns on her arm. Never mind the fact that she's in a hospital bed. And the only thing this mullah could say was, where is your hijab? Just no compassion at all. And I want to talk to you about this whole issue of false religion, blinded by religion this morning. Religious rituals and traditions, well, they're destructive and deceptive. The disease of being blinded by religion is a disease that can affect every one of us. God desires mercy and compassion, and instead, many religious leaders fall prey to a system of rules and regulations that devalues and destroys human beings. Now, during his earthly ministry, Jesus encountered the blindness of religious traditions many times when he met with the Pharisees and the scribes. On one occasion, the Pharisees complained to Jesus that his disciples were not following the prescribed Jewish hand-washing tradition before eating. Jesus immediately rebuked the blindness of the Pharisees and accused them of replacing the law of God with man-made traditions. The Pharisees were obsessed with outward religious purity while ignoring the real problem, the sinfulness of their hearts. And again, I'm bringing up the Pharisees and scribes during the time of Jesus' earthly ministry and the hand-washing ritual to make a point about what this mullah said about this young 10-year-old girl in the hospital who didn't have her hijab on. To the Pharisees and the scribes, Jesus, your disciples need to wash their hands. They don't do that. That's part of our tradition. There's something wrong with them. This mullah, following in the same footsteps, this girl, where is her hijab? Never mind the fact that she's dealing with severe burns to her body. Well, how does Jesus respond, and how should we respond to the blindness of false religion? Well, Jesus pointed out that the dilemma of the Pharisees and the scribes were that they were busy honoring God with their lips while their hearts were far away from him. The real problem, Jesus emphasized, was the condition of the human heart. And he said, it is not what goes into your body that defiles you, Jesus proclaims. You are defiled by what comes out of your heart. He's going beneath the surface, hand-washing rituals, not having the hijab on. Here's the problem. You're obsessed with outward moral righteousness and purity, but the real problem with you, Pharisees, the real problem with you, mullahs, is the condition of your heart. It's not what goes into a person that defiles him. It's what comes out of his heart. The point Jesus was making it was that their religious traditions had blinded them to the real problem and had corrupted the true intent of God's law. Well, how do we fit that into what we're saying this morning about this elementary school fire and this mullah? Well, sadly, the mullah in Iran is much like the Pharisees that Jesus rebuked because of their religious traditions. We have a law here. Whenever you go out publicly, woman, you must wear your hijab. Even if you're in the hospital and someone posts your picture on the internet, you are in violation of the hijab rule. Wow. Well, instead of showing mercy and compassion to this young burn victim, Yagana, this mullah was more concerned that she was not in compliance with Islamic law by not wearing her veil. How deep the blindness and the deception. But wait a minute. Let's not be too harsh on the mullah. All of us can fall victim to the blindness of religion. We can become too obsessed with the rules. Example. So you want to be part of this Bible study. Well, you can't come to this Bible study dressed like that. Pants. Blue jeans? No. And by the way, that version of the Bible, You have the NIV. No, I'm sorry. We don't recognize that translation. If you want to be part of our Bible study, you better dress accordingly, and you better have a King James version of the Bible. You're not welcome here until you conform. Now, that's a sad example. I can tell you what, I know people just like that, that would make it necessary, the way you dress and the what you version of the Bible you're reading. Now, I'm not saying dress any way you want, show anything you want. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying there are some Bible groups in church that will be offended by someone coming to their Bible study. And they may, in some situations, whisper to the person, she can't be a member here. Look at how she's dressed. Or, if they didn't say anything about that, as she participated in the Bible study, they would say, by the way, what version are you reading from? Well, that's a corrupt version. The real true version is King James. And, you know, this is the kind of intimidation and harassment that false religion brings upon people. It demeans human beings for the sake of ritual and for the sake of tradition. What is the prescription for this? Well, there's a lot of prescriptions. What did Jesus say about it? That's one answer. But I found a very important verse for us in the Old Testament. Micah chapter 6, verse 8, I think is God's prescription that will keep you and me safe from this kind of blindness. Micah 6, 8 says, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. To be just, to not be legalistic, to not pile rule upon rule upon rule upon rule, thinking somehow if you obey all these rules that you're righteous and acceptable to God. No, that's unjust. To love kindness. Well, that's very simple. That we show compassion and kindness to people instead of insisting that they conform to this standard or tradition that we as Christians believe. And that we walk humbly. That's a big one. Micah 6:8 says, to be just, to be merciful, to be humble. That's a good prescription for the way that you and I ought to behave. This is a sad situation. I remember, and this goes into detail in the book, Shout Freedom, the lawyer mentioned that the first issue he had with these young elementary school students, and this was an all-girl elementary school, of course, the sexes are segregated. The first hurdle he had with getting justice for their injuries was that they were women. And you're a second-class citizen in Iran if you're a woman. And so because of that, he had a hurdle to get them to act upon, that is the mullahs, to act upon this crime. This was a heater that should have been replaced. There was a fire. Should have been some accountability. But because these are young girls, the wheels of justice turn very slowly for young girls in Iran. And so it's a very insightful article that's going to be in our bookshop, Freedom, that will be out sometime this summer. And I'm looking forward to it. It goes into more detail. But we need to guard our hearts against false religion. False religion treats people inhumanely. Situation I can say of I've written about was that during Nowruz, my Iranian friend told me the story of a situation in a clothing store where the police had come in to confront the store owner, saying, the mannequins in your store window don't have hijabs on them. And I just insane. A plastic figurine in a window has to be treated like a human being. And my point was, isn't that what the Iranian police want all women to behave like, to be like mannequins that don't argue, that don't talk back, but they display the clothes you put on them in the window? And that's, again, what false religion does. It dehumanizes human beings for the sake of tradition and rituals. Well, I want to take us now to a song that talks about the true heart of who God is. He is a waymaker. This is a beautiful song that will explain all about what I'm trying to say and broadcast this morning. This is who God is. Let's listen. So blessed because that's who God is. I want to just close this broadcast this morning by reminding us about something about to happen, very important for all of us, for all Christians everywhere. Tomorrow, April 24th, is the beginning of the long, month-long Ramadan for Muslims. And every Ramadan, I always spend some time with my Christian friends, and I always talk about this on the radio program, about our unique responsibility and opportunity during this Ramadan season to really reach out to Muslims in prayer. Now, if you have a Muslim friend like I do at work, it could be a great opportunity to really talk to them, to really engage with them, to really share with them your Christian faith. And it's an opportunity because during this month, Muslims are more spiritually open, I think, to hear from Christians. And I have a prayer guide here. It's called the Muslim World Prayer Guide. And it's 30 days to pray for Muslims in every nation of the world. And this prayer guide this year, we're praying for different kind of Muslims all over the world, and it gives you prayer suggestions, a little information about them. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that we have a responsibility, a great responsibility, to really spend time this next month to maybe turn our attention away from the pandemic a little bit, because I know it obsesses and it controls our every thinking of our lives. And now is the time to shine. You know, I've said this before, during this pandemic, this is a time for the church to rise up and shine like never before, to seize the opportunity of this chaos and crisis. Well, now is the time also for the church to rise up and to reach out to Muslims. Now, for some of you, that's going to be hard, because you read about all the terrorism and the terrorist attacks, and you might think that just every Muslim is like that, and that would not be true. Is Islam a peaceful religion? No, I'm not saying that. No, not at all. But we are peacemakers. We as Christians are the ones that reach over, despite the differences, despite the stereotypes, and we reach out with the love of Christ, which is what every Muslim needs to know. You know, they're going through Ramadan, racking up points with praying, giving of alms, and all the things they do, fasting. Why do they do it? Well, they want to be acceptable to their God, so that at the end of their life, when they stand before Allah, they can say, look, I fasted, I prayed, I did good. Is that what the gospel is? Of course not. The gospel is not something we do. It's something Jesus has done for us. And Jesus is not going to evaluate our salvation based on giving of alms, fasting, and praying, thankfully. It's based on what he did at the cross for us. He bore our sins, the wrath of God. He wants to give eternal life to us, but it cannot be earned. And that's what Muslims are doing. So Ramadan is a time for them to rack up as many points before God, because he's a good businessman. That's the way they look at him. He's going to keep a record of everything you do. Muslims need the gospel. Muslim needs loving Christian friends to reach out to them. So Monday on my radio program, I'm going to talk all about that. And the title of the program is Your Next Door Neighbor is a Muslim. We're going to look at this very carefully. So I hope that you will think about this and think about praying for Muslims for the next month, that God will speak to them in dreams and visions and open their hearts to who he is. That's going to be what I'm going to do. I hope you'll join me. I'll be posting things on my Facebook and on my pages about this. So I want to say thank you and God bless you this morning for spending time with me on the cross in the desert. Please be safe and have a great weekend, and I will see you again on Monday on the Cross in the Desert.